Television shows like The West Wing have been ripping stories from the headlines for years. But lately, that equation is moving in reverse. In the past few weeks, Washington insiders have been riveted by newspaper and magazine stories about President Obama and his relationship with Chief of Staff Rahm Emanuel. Some stories say Emanuel is too powerful. Others portray a White House dominated by campaign staffers, in which Emanuel's pragmatic advice on health care and the economy is ignored. It's a storyline almost identical to a fictional one during the first season of The West Wing.
Mandy wrote an instruction manual for Russell, and it's out there somewhere.
That's actress Allison Janney, who played White House Press Secretary C.J. Gregg. In that episode, the staffers who work for President Bartlet find out that a reporter is about to print a story detailing the relationship between the president and his chief of staff, Leo McGarry.
How bad is it?
Well, she takes the three of us to town. We don't look like rocket scientists, but then again, we're not rocket scientists.
Who is it bad for?
President, Leo, President and Leo.
We don't know who has this?
I'm talking to everybody in the room.
Do it quietly.
And quickly, whose paper is it in tomorrow? We have to know right away.
Yeah.
The episode detailed what's known as a process story, a story not about policy or even debate, but a look at the tension behind the scenes.
I think it suggests how, in some ways, Washington is predictable because there are so many stories in the TV show that preceded real life.
That's Dee Dee Myers. She was President Clinton's first press secretary and a consultant for The West Wing, and she, too, has been following the recent process stories about Rahm Emanuel.
The story is a distraction. It's very uncomfortable for Rahm, both because some people are calling for his head and other people are saying if the president had only listened to him. Neither of those are stories that Rahm wants out there, and neither of those are really stories the president wants out there either. I mean, one of the things that's driving this story more than is there a rift between Barack Obama and Rahm Emanuel is there a rift between Barack Obama, the candidate, and Barack Obama, the president?
Right.
And is Rahm Emanuel somehow responsible for going from the presidential candidate who wanted to change Washington as we know it to the president who's become part of the Washington establishment?
You know, the biggest argument made about these kinds of stories is that they take away from, you know, the substantive issues, the policy questions. And I want to play another clip from this episode of The West Wing. This is the press secretary, C.J. Gregg, and she's confronting Danny Concannon. And he is a reporter with The Washington Post who is writing the story about Leo McGarry, President Bartlet's chief of staff.
Who has it?
I do.
You have it?
Yeah.
And you're going to write about it?
Sure.
Why?
Look.
Why?
Because it's news, CJ.
It's not news.
It is.
It's not news just because it's entertaining, Danny.
It's news because the media director of a successful presidential campaign wrote a memo to a leader of the president's party describing his weaknesses.
So clearly, C.J. Gregg is Dee Dee Myers in the White House. But does she have a point? I mean, are stories like the Rahm Emanuel stories not news?
Well, it depends on how you define news. Is news information that we need to know to make good decisions? Is news something that's entertaining, or is it some combination of the above? This is something we're wrestling with as a broader culture. In terms of trying to control what is news, the White House has a different set of priorities than the news media. The news media wants to maintain its readers and its viewers and make sure that it's interesting and that it's competitive. Any news organization wants to beat its competitors no matter what the story is, whether it's Tiger Woods' confession or, you know, healthcare policy. So the White House will always argue in favor, you know, to define news as things that are good for the White House. So and also, you know, there's an argument that what's good for the American people, is it more important for them to understand the details of the healthcare reform proposal, or is it more important for them to understand the process through which that bill may or may not pass?
But I mean, surely they can understand both, and both can be presented, right? I mean,
there's an imbalance in the amount of information we get about each. People know way more about the process in healthcare than they do about what's in the bill.
You mean the horse trading and the fighting?
Yeah,
and the,
yeah. Whether you know how this is going to work and what got in the bill and what shouldn't have been in the bill. Now, part of that is it's just simple math. The Senate's version of the health care bill passed December 24th. It has not changed. The process for getting that bill to become law has changed pretty much every day and in very dramatic ways. And so that becomes more newsy because news is what's new.
With these stories about Emanuel, the basic premise is, had the president only listened to him a bit more, and we don't know if this is true, but this is the premise, had he listened to him a bit more, perhaps more of his legislative agenda would have passed, would have been accomplished, including health care overhaul. That strikes me as a legitimate news story.
Yeah, I mean, it's not to say that every aspect of a process story is not newsworthy. I mean, many are. And again, it goes back to your definition of news. But how things work affects the outcome. And so you can't argue that that's never relevant. And of course, it's relevant. But it's in terms of the volume. How much, you know, why do we have 87 stories about Rahm Emanuel, which most Americans care a little bit about, but not that much, and so many fewer stories about what will happen to most the cost of most people's health care should this bill pass. Mm. There's one story, and then news organizations will say, well, we wrote about that once, right? Because the substance didn't change, but the process changed every day for months, and so people know much more about the process. And it ultimately makes it hard to get things done. And so from that perspective, where people get so bogged down in the process and it all looks like sausage getting made and it's not very attractive, and it does undermine our democracy on some sense. That's not to say that they should never be covered, and I don't know how you get the balance right, but that's one of the things that you worry about is, you know, as the White House press secretary or as the chief of staff or as the president, how do you strike some balance so that people actually know what it is you're trying to achieve, not just all the flaws of the process that you're using to actually go about achieving that? And the process is flawed because humans are flawed. Mm.
There was an entire West Wing episode called The Process Story.
Mm-hmm.
But if you think about it, the entire series was a process story, which is in part what made it so compelling, which I guess is why we love these stories, right?
Right. I mean, Aaron Sorkin, the brilliant creator of the show, always said that his objective was to he loved pulling back the curtain and showing people what went on in this mysterious place called the West Wing. And he loved the little bits of information. Oh, I remember just incidentally one day saying to him something about the president's going to pardon the turkey, which for whatever reason he didn't know. And he thought that was just he loved those little pieces of information about stuff that went on inside the White House and why did that happen and who got to decide. And, you know, just, again, pulling back the curtain and letting people see how things happen. But it was process with an idealist's perspective.
And
that's not necessarily the point of a process story in Washington. It's a Hollywood process story, so it's a rosier gloss.
Has the process story changed since you were in the White House in the early 90s, or is it the same old story again and again? It's just sort of repeat itself again and again.
To a certain degree, yeah, it repeats itself. What's different is there are so many more outlets for the process story, and there's so much more competition for something different that every aspect of the process story becomes a story. People might have been interested in it before, but there was no place to put it. Now there's a place to put it.
That's Dee Dee Meyer. She's a political analyst, a contributing editor to Vanity Fair, and, of course, the press secretary during President Bill Clinton's first term in office. Dee Dee Meyer, thanks for being here.
Thanks for having me.